Next Sunday, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 10 to 14. It's an unusual passage, but it's God's take on how a marriage can be happy. It's very interesting. It's an unusual passage that you normally don't think so, but it's a wonderful passage, and I'm just beginning to get into understanding it. We're looking forward to getting back into Deuteronomy. Today we're on Luke chapter 1, 26 to 37, the biblical Gabriel's word of Jesus' eternal rule of Israel and all men versus Islam's Gabriel. Ever since the 9/11 Al-Qaeda attacks on America, the Islamic faith has been a key issue in world affairs. As a recent example, The Economist reported that relatively moderate Islamist groups have been losing out to other factions in Syria, particularly the jihadist ones. As the jihadists grow in strength, some Western officials are starting quietly to advocate re-engagement with Bashar Assad, Syria's president, while others think the only course left is to work with devout Islamists who reject the extremists, but who nonetheless refuse to be part of the coalition hitherto backed by the West. The immediate cause of this mess is the growth of Al-Qaeda affiliates in Syria. However, Islam affects not only world affairs, but it also affects society. Over the next 20 years, the world Muslim population is going to increase by 35%. And what's interesting is the world already has 1 billion Muslims. So it's going to increase by 35%. It's a lot of people. Well, the Quran. So we must be able to answer, rather, questions that Muslims raised about our Christian faith to fulfill 1 Peter 3:15. And one place to start is the contrast between the words of Islam's angel Gabriel and the words of the Bible's angel Gabriel. Now, why are the words of Gabriel so important in Islam? The Quran that Muslims hold is divinely inspired, allegedly was delivered piecemeal through Gabriel to Muhammad during his 23-year prophetic career. In other words, all of the alleged inspired scripture in Islam was given through the mouth of Gabriel. So Gabriel is an extremely important figure in the Islamic faith. Now, Islam teaches that the Torah, that's the five books of Moses, was Allah's first revelation, and the New Testament gospel was second. But both became corrupted, so Allah gave the Quran to Muhammad to put people back on the right path. However, Surah 930 of the Quran asserts those who consider Jesus to be the Son of God are under the curse of Allah. And the Muslim Hadith, which is an authoritative tradition of the Prophet Muhammad that were written by his early followers to explain the Quran's teachings, claims that the last hour will not come before the Muslims fight the Jews and the Muslims kill them. Okay. So we ask in the need section, if Islam claims the Bible is corrupted and the Quran that Gabriel spoke to Muhammad is inspired, and if the Quran and Islam's Hadith that authoritatively explains the Quran claim one is cursed for believing that Jesus is God's son and that Muslims will annihilate the Jews before the end, how do we reply? It's very important for us to know how to give an answer for the of our faith to people who bring up the questions. Well, first we note that Islam's claim that the Christian Bible is corrupt is incorrect by means of empirical evidence. The word empirical, for those who may not recall, it's information that is gained by the senses, by eyes, ears, touch, taste, and so forth. Now, this is objective information that we can get through manuscripts. The Third Council of Carthage in AD 397 forbade the reading of any uninspired books of the Bible, so that then the 66-book Bible canon was set. What's interesting that is that even the Church, the Roman Catholic Church, before the Protestant Reformation had only 66 books in its Bible. It added the Apocrypha in a reaction to Protestants. So, there, in fact, it did so against the advice of many Catholic theologians at the time. They were seriously objecting to it at the time. But anyway, the original Bible was 66-book Bible canon, set by 397 AD. Now, on Islam's charge that the Bible was corrupted so that the Quran was later needed to restore the true divine revelation, Dr. Gleason Archer of the Theological Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago wrote a careful study of the variants, or the different readings, of the various earliest manuscripts of the Bible reveals that none of them affects a single doctrine of Scripture. And Sir Frederick Kenyon wrote, "The general result of all these discoveries that include the Dead Sea Scrolls is our conviction that we have in our hands in substantial integrity the veritable word of God. Now, the alleged angel Gabriel of Islam began to give his messages to Muhammad in AD 611, 214 years after the Bible's canon has been shown not only to have been universally set, but from the finding of ancient manuscripts not to have been doctrinally corrupted. So it is the Quran's teacher that differ from the Bible's teachings that are the real corruption of the truth. And get this right from the evidence that we have. Second, the Bible's Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 37, announced that Jesus, as the Son of God, would one day rule over Israel and all men in an eternal kingdom opposite the teachings of Islam's Quran. I want to read that passage. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following. In the sixth month, this would be in the sixth month of gestation for Elizabeth. John the Baptizer was in her womb. He was 6 months along. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when Mary saw him, she was troubled at his saying. You have to understand that an engaged woman was heavily chaperoned at the time, and for her to be seen or be in a room alone with another figure that she took to be a man was a very troublesome thing, so she was afraid. And she cast about in her mind what kind of salutation this should be. But the angel said unto her, "Don't be afraid," or "Stop being afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus," or in that day it meant Joshua. "He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How can this be, since I do not have relations with a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you." This is much like Genesis 1:2. "And the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy entity which shall be born in you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, she who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Wonderful passage that we've often used around the Christmas time. But in contrast to the Muslim Quran's claim to the contrary, the angel Gabriel, in his announcement to Mary of the birth of Jesus, twice referred to Jesus as the Son of God. Announcing Mary's firstborn son was to be named Jesus, the angel Gabriel said Jesus would be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Greek word there is hypsistou. And that's a term in the Greek New Testament that translates the Hebrew Old Testament term Elyon, which is a reference to the Most High God. That's the God that Abraham worshipped in Genesis chapter 14, verse 19. And he is El Elyon. Then again in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, Gabriel called Jesus the Son of God, a reference to his deity, which is an amazing thing. He said, "That entity which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God." Here is the angel Gabriel himself calling Jesus the Son of God, opposite the Quran. There's a direct contradiction there. Then also, in contrast to the Muslim hadith's claim to the contrary, the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, 32 to 33, with Old Testament prophecy Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, taught that Jesus will forever rule over believing Jews and Gentiles in a worldwide kingdom that will never be destroyed by any entity, as follows. Gabriel said that Mary's firstborn son, the Lord Jesus, Luke 1, 26 to 31, the Savior of the world, according to John 1, 29, would be granted by God the Father the throne of his earthly ancestor, Israel's King David. So Jesus is going to sit on the throne over the kingdom of Israel. Very important. Now, also, Gabriel said that Jesus would rule over the house of Jacob, that is, over the Jewish people of Israel who descended from their forefather Jacob. We know that this is Jacob and the descendants of Jacob, because in Genesis chapter 32, verse 28, Jacob's name was changed by God to Israel. So the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, the same thing. And that this kingdom would last forever. Now, if we go to an Old Testament passage that talks about this kingdom that will last forever, it's very, very revealing to us. And the passage that we are turning to happens to be a section that is written in Aramaic. One of the languages I had to study at Dallas Seminary was Aramaic, because parts of Daniel are in Aramaic. Got some Aramaic loan words in the Psalms. And this section happens to be in Aramaic. And I like doing this because it's a bit of a challenge. All right. From the Old Testament book of Daniel 7, 13 and 14, a section that is written actually in Royal Aramaic, which was a dead language by the time the prophecies of Daniel came to be fulfilled. In view of New Testament passages, we see that this kingdom will be a worldwide rule over all men of the earth. Now we know from Jesus' ascension in a cloud to heaven in Acts chapter 1, 9 and 10, that he is the Son of Man who ascends to the Ancient of Days to God the Father in the Daniel 7, 13 prophecy. Let me just read that. In Daniel 7, 13, Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and he came up to the Ancient of Days, that would be God the Father, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So, from Jesus' ascension, Jesus, we know, is this Son of Man. And Jesus always referred to himself as the Son of Man throughout the Gospels. He refers to him, the Son of Man, this, the Son of Man, that. He's going back to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. He is the one who is going to be taken up to the Father and then receive this kingdom that will rule the entire world. So, at his second coming, Daniel chapter 7, verse 14 claims that Jesus will be given dominion by God the Father so that, and this is where I lean on my Aramaic, all peoples, the Aramaic word is amamya, which is a plural emphatic, all nations, umayya, another plural emphatic, and language is lishanaya, Aramaic, plural emphatic again, will pay reverence as deity, that's the word Pila in Aramaic, to him. So the repeat plural emphatic nouns in the Aramaic at Daniel 7:14 reveal that all Jews, all Gentiles, this is all people in Arab lands, this is all people in Muslim lands, all of these people, they will all, nations and all language groups in all of the world will pay homage to Jesus as God in his coming kingdom. Then from Daniel 7:14, we also know that this kingdom of Jesus will not be destroyed or hurt. Habal, again, that's in Aramaic. Accordingly, nothing will hurt or destroy the everlasting kingdom of Jesus over all saved Jews and over all saved Gentiles throughout the entire world. In other words, the Quran and the Hadith has it wrong. Israel's going to be around forever. And Jesus Christ will be ruling over her forever. And Jesus Christ will be ruling over all people who are in Muslim lands now. They're not going to be Muslims then. They'll be believers in Jesus Christ. And many, incidentally, are coming to Christ in Iran, in Iraq, even in Saudi Arabia. We're getting news of many people coming to Jesus Christ through outreach, through radio and television. It's a wonderful thing. So the lesson is, though Islam holds that the Bible is corrupt, and the Quran that its angel Gabriel spoke to Muhammad is divinely inspired, and though the Quran and Islam's hadith that authoritatively explains the Quran teach one is cursed in believing that Jesus is God's son, and that Muslims will annihilate the Jews before the end, the manuscript evidence shows that the Bible is fully doctrinally credible. And Luke 1, 26-37, with Daniel 7, 13 and 14, teach that the angel Gabriel predicted that Jesus as God's son would rule all Jews and Gentiles, all nations, all language groups in an eternal kingdom that would not be hurt or destroyed, and that all men will pay homage to Jesus as God. Can hardly wait. The application is, may we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior for eternal life now. That's important to do. Philippians says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. Sooner or later, every one of us is going to do that. And we're better off doing it sooner than later, because if we do it sooner, we have eternal life. If we do it later, it's too late. So it's very important that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then may we answer Muslims who ask us a reason for our hope on the issues mentioned in the sermon and lead them to trust in Jesus Christ. One of the main reasons I'm doing this series is because I want to get this on the web. There are many Muslims today who are disillusioned. They're disillusioned because they're disillusioned by terrorists and terrorism. The moderate Muslims, they don't know how to deal with that. And there are many who are searching. I grew up, in fact, 7 years in Nigeria. I was in Muslim territory. We were in Kano, Nigeria, northern Nigeria. And one of the towns where they're having a lot of fighting, Jos, is actually where I lived for a number of years with my parents. And it's incredible what's going on. But a lot of these people are really asking serious questions. And I want them to be able, and since you can find our web page by, you know, if you Google in on the Google search engine, Islam or Islamic and so forth, eventually our page will come up. And I want this information out for Muslims so that they can take it and use it for Christ and hopefully come to know Jesus Christ. Now, in witnessing to Muslims, a key issue to address is the Quran's great inconsistency on the way of salvation. On the one hand, the Quran teaches that salvation is based on purification by good deeds in Quran 7, 6 through 9. Yet the Quran also teaches that Allah has predetermined every person's destiny, and one's righteous acts may or may not affect Allah's decision, Quran 57:22. Now it teaches that everyone, both the righteous and the unrighteous, will be led to hell by Allah before the righteous will enter heaven. That's Quran 19:67-72. Even Muhammad himself was unsure of his salvation, according to Quran 31:34-46:9. And today, whenever Muslims mention the name of Muhammad, they add the phrase, peace be upon him, because Muhammad's eternal destiny is uncertain, and the Muslim must ask Allah to be merciful to him. In other words, the Muslim to this day has no assurance that the founder of their faith, Muhammad, is actually going to end up in heaven. To me, that's tragic. It's tragic. In contrast to the Quran, the Christian Bible of John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, asserts, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have. And the word have is ekate, it's a present tense. In other words, you are right now possessing eternal life. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he said this in John 5, 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is once for all past. It's the perfect tense of metabino. Once for all past from death unto life. That's eternal security. You don't pass out of that situation again. You have passed from one to the other. In the African tongue, we say, shikinan, that's it. It's all over. It's done. So, in other words, the Bible asserts that one who trusts in Christ for salvation from sin and hell unto eternal life can be assured, both now and throughout the early life and beyond into all eternity, that he unconditionally possesses eternal life. What a hope. So may we heed the Bible as God's word and trust in Jesus Christ as it directs. And may we answer Muslims, giving them the reasons for our faith in meekness and respect, that they might be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the Word of God, and that the Word of God has given us four priceless messages from the angel Gabriel. One in Daniel chapter 8, one in Daniel 9, and two here in Luke's Gospel chapter 1. One of those messages in Luke 1 was to Zacharias as he was ministering at the altar of incense, and the other was given to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, on the birth of Jesus Christ, and his instruction and his words in the context of Scripture really shed a light upon the truth versus the error in regards to the person and work of Jesus Christ and salvation and the Jew and even Christians. And Father, I would ask that if there are any Muslims who are listening to the website, listening to the MP3 recording of this, who are searching, they would see the need that they have to believe the truth of the Bible, to believe in the message of the true angel Gabriel that was truly given, that they might come to know our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and have eternal life and have assurance of heaven and salvation. And Father, I would ask that if there's anyone here this morning who as yet has not put his or her trust in Jesus Christ, that they would recognize their need to do that and believe in him, that they might have eternal life. And Father, I also ask that we would be equipped perhaps better to witness to Muslims, to have a heart for these people who are indeed people who are in great need of Jesus Christ, that we might be able to take the light of the gospel to them, that they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might believe it and see and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.